Welcome to Share the Bytes, Episode 10, Women of Ubuntu.
Well, hello everybody. It's another Friday at Cafe La Scala with DB Lug. I am Ian Lin.
Grant Bowman.
And our special guest for tonight,
Elizabeth Crumbuck.
Welcome, Elizabeth.
Welcome.
Thanks.
Yeah, we're very excited to have you. Goodness knows, we've been trying to get you here for quite some time, and we know you're very busy.
I think the first email was in August.
Yes.
That's about when we started doing these. Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah. And being busy, you're involved with a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And so we don't have the conversation going on to the wee hours in the morning. We want to focus in on a few things that you're doing, particularly your involvement with, I believe, what's called the Women of Ubuntu, mm-hmm. and the mentoring programs they do, and you know, what we want to do is, you know, understand, what is this? What is Women of Ubuntu? What are these mentoring programs you've told us about? And maybe we can get started. Just describe what it is and what you do with the organization.
Sure. So it's the Ubuntu Women Project was sort of based on Debian women and inspired a lot by Linux Chicks. So I was involved with Linux Chicks starting around 2003 or so, and that was just a generic online set of mailing lists for women who are into Linux and wanted to meet each other, and also a support forum. Because at the time, back in 2003 or so, a lot of the support options online were less friendly, and it was hard to approach them, and a lot of women felt uncomfortable on these forums, and a lot of guys, too. I mean, they're very abrasive and a little tough. So we were trying to create a safe space where the only rules were be polite and be helpful, which was unusual in the open source world at the time.
When was this?
I started contributing around 2002, 2003 or so. So this was around the time I started using Linux, actually. So, and then I hosted a chapter in Philadelphia where I used to live. So we had Philly Chicks, and we had in-person meetings, sometimes before the regular Linux users group meeting that was there, sometimes just sort of on their own when we felt like meeting up. And then from there, I sort of got involved in Debian Women when I started contributing to the Debian open source project.
And then, mention the URL?
So the Linux Chicks is at linuxchicks.org. And as I mentioned, it's mostly a collection of mailing lists. So there's ones where you can talk about technology and technical issues, and there's also like Action Chicks where they try to do stuff. There hasn't been much activity on that one lately. There's chapters where you have chapters like Philly Chicks and other mailing lists where people can talk about women in tech issues as well. So I got involved in Debian Women, and that's, I think it's still at women.debian.org or .net. They recently moved. Yeah, so it forwards you to, what is it, debian.org/women. So the Debian Women Project is primarily a mailing list and IRC channel where women can get together and get helpful, friendly advice on packaging software for Debian. And that's really their focus, is packaging software, because Debian is starting to grow a community beyond just their package management, but for a long time it was pretty much just put packages into Debian, that's what Debian is. But they now have a news team, and we have local events. We have Debian dinners in San Francisco every few months or so.
Yeah, I've been involved with Debian for a while as well, and that's their culture. It's a very strong technical base, which is why Ubuntu was created, to more put a human face on things, right? But even,
right.
I mean, there are human beings there too, obviously. All these groups are social.
And have you seen a lot of positive feedback with putting something like this together, with people coming and saying, wow, this is really helpful, thank you for putting it up?
We've got a lot of mixed reactions. Actually, when I first created Philly Chicks in Philadelphia, there was a bit of a flame on the Philadelphia Linux users group list, where someone said, why are you taking people away from the Lug? Why don't you just invite them here? And I'm like, well, I did invite them there, and they didn't come, so.
Interesting.
And it ended up pretty well. People were supportive. Some people were supportive, who were key members of the list, and I came on saying, hey, I'm bringing them to the Lug afterwards. Like, we're trying to help bring more women in.
The idea is an on-ramp, right?
Yeah. So definitely for all these projects, we're trying to bring more women into the community, and by offering a friendly way to start out, really. So that was Debian women, and on there have actually been some pretty serious issues. There was a guy issuing death threats to all the Ubuntu, or the Debian women at one point, 2005 or so.
Oh my.
By email. He went away. He was blocked from all the mailing lists and disappeared for a few years. He's come back here and there, but it was probably the worst experience I've had in open source. That was not fun. But we had a supportive group of women there. We were all getting the same messages. We were all able to say, like, listen, this is just a nut job who's out there, not really a concern. And we filed the reports with the appropriate authorities, and it was taken care of eventually. So, but it was nice to have that support there, because if we didn't, I mean, if I had gotten that email in my inbox and I hadn't had anyone to talk about it with, and I didn't know if it was happening to anyone else, it would have been really hard for me to continue with open source at that point.
Yeah, very scary.
And really off-putting, you're like, because you're trying to get involved and you're donating your time and your expertise to a project, and you get a response that's, women don't belong here, very explicitly saying that, like, you should leave. Because sometimes it's not so subtle. I started using Ubuntu and learned about Ubuntu Women, and I started contributing to Ubuntu Women in 2006 or so.
And that's ubuntu-women.org?
Right.
Now, what's the community like? Is this locally based here in California, worldwide, nationally?
So it was founded separately in two areas. There were some folks who were on the Ubuntu forums internationally who were doing it, and then there was a woman in India who approached the community council at the time to make the project official and set up a mailing list and all that. So it was a very global effort to get it started. Right now, there's four leaders of the Ubuntu project. We all sort of pitch in to make sure it's all in the same direction. One of them is from Italy. Another is living in France, but she's also from Italy, living in France. And then there's one woman in Ohio, and then I'm in California. So even now, and we're very happy about that, because the women from Italy are the first two leaders who are not from the United States.
Oh, wow.
So even though we've always had international reach everywhere, it just hasn't trickled up or, you know, come up to the leadership. So it was really great to have them on board last year.
And then, other than providing support through mailing lists, forms, what other activities do you do?
So that's really the core of what we do. We have a couple IRC channels, one that's a public channel where we have meetings and people can come in to talk about ideas they have that they want publicly logged and shared with the rest of the community. And then we have our regular Ubuntu Women channel on Freenode, where you can pretty much, I mean, it's a pretty casual channel, and you can come in and talk about whatever you'd like. And the direction tends to be women in open source, women in Ubuntu, and most of it, it's very friendly and not any problems. But, here and there, someone will come in and say, listen, I encountered this behavior on this Ubuntu area. Can you guys see if I'm overreacting, or give me some advice on how to handle it, or offer me tips on how to deal with the situation? More commonly, it's women coming in who are saying they're interested in Ubuntu and they heard about us. How can they help? So that's where mentoring comes in. And through the life of the project, we've had various iterations of mentoring programs, and most of them didn't work very well. We tried to do like a wiki page where we had people list what they were interested in, and then we would assign a mentor to them. But it turns out when you're just starting out, you really don't want to edit a wiki page. You don't want to be the only one with your name on that wiki page. Wikis are annoying. And then also it was just intimidating, I guess, putting your name out there and all that. So we tried to sort of quietly match people up, have them contact a mentoring team, but that didn't really work out either. What's actually worked out best for us is doing very informal mentoring. So instead of statically matching up people, if someone comes into the channel or comes on the mailing list and has questions about a project, the person on the list who has interest in that project may end up becoming their mentor simply because they're the one who keeps answering their questions. So the mentoring ends up happening very organically, and you end up becoming a mentor without even realizing it or understanding it, but all of a sudden you have this person who's coming to you and asking questions and doing really awesome stuff, and you're helping them along. So that's really been the core of what's been most successful for us mentoring-wise.
And it looks like on the webpage you have some other resources. There's a blog, there's links to forums. And...
Right, right. So the forum, not very active. We keep it around for people who are in Ubuntu forums and are interested in coming to our group as sort of a way to get in. The big thing we have right now is our blog, blog.ubuntu-women.org. We've been putting a fair amount of content up there lately. We do interviews of women in the community, sort of try to inspire other people. We did one, we did a bunch for Full Circle Magazine, which is an online magazine, and then we've been doing follow-up interviews to those same people. We also host IRC sessions every once in a while. We have a career day session where women come and talk about their career on IRC. And then how it relates to open source and how open source has helped their career and how it's sort of positioned in their career right now. And we had the CEO of Canonical, Jane Silver, come in and talk about her career. I talked about systems administration once on the thing. And we've had other people come in, and I think most recently a software release coordinator came in to talk about her experience. We recently had the two leaders who are from the Italian team come in and talk about how they have a local chapter of Ubuntu Women. And so that was a session that we blogged about. So that was pretty interesting because they saw a need for the Italian-speaking community to provide an Ubuntu Women forum.
And I know our listeners can't see it right now, but we're actually looking at the Ubuntu Women page. And what was the address again?
blog.ubuntu-women.org.
Right. And it's linked from ubuntu-women.org.
Yep. Now, does the community have interaction with regards to the Ubuntu development as a whole, or is it used mostly as a support forum? I'm kind of just curious here as to what more does the organization do in order to contribute to the community at large?
Right. So primarily, we're sort of an on-ramp for new contributors. There's also an Ubuntu youth group who targets younger contributors, and it's pretty much just a central place. Like, if you're a woman and you want to contribute to Ubuntu, you can just dive in and start contributing like anyone else. But if you want to, you know, meet up with other women and see, you know, in, at least virtually, and get a feel for the community and ask some questions you may be uncomfortable asking in the wider community because it feels like you're surrounded by guys and that can be intimidating. They have a group to come to and they can ask us questions. And then from there, we help get them into the project. So women pretty much get funneled through our project. So they start there, ask some questions, and then they're pushed off into the wider community. And people are sometimes confused by that because they think Ubuntu Women is where we collect all the women or that everyone involved with the project is a woman, which is not the case. We don't have restrictions on membership. We don't even have restrictions on who can be a leader. Mm-hmm. If a man put his name forward for leadership in the project, he may not be voted in, but we wouldn't say no to it.
Yeah.
You know, we'd be completely welcoming to someone who is supportive of our mission.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also they say, you know, we're keeping women away from the project, but by not having any initiatives ourselves, there's nothing really tying a lot of women to the project. So if, like, we're keeping them away from the project by making them do what exactly? We don't have projects of our own. So we really are just pushing them into encouraging them to get involved. And it also gives them a really nice way to approach some of the higher profile women in the project. Because it turns out people are sometimes scared to talk to me, which is weird for me, but apparently it's much less intimidating if they join the channel or join the mailing list and I can say hi there and I make the introduction or I step forward in that instead of having them approach me, which apparently sometimes they won't do. So.
Who are the other high-profile women in the project?
So there's Laura. She lives in the UK, and she's part of the Loco Council, and she's also on the community council with me. And then there's people like Amber Grainer. She used to be the leader of the Ubuntu Women Project a few years back, and she now works as a community manager at Linaro, which is a company working to get ARM on Linux working really well. And there's Mackenzie Morgan, who used to do a lot of work in Ubuntu development. She's had to scale back some now that her career has taken off in the software development direction. And then, of course, you get experience, like, you get to, since we had the Jane Silberg, CEO of Canonical, she doesn't hang out in the Ubuntu Women channel, but through projects like the Career Days, where she came in and talked to us, you could actually ask questions of her in an IRC channel. And even for me, that was pretty cool. I don't talk to her daily, so it was a nice opportunity to, you know, have a formal way in which you can interface with some of these women in the project.
Okay. And how long have you been involved with Ubuntu for Women now?
2006 or so, I learned about it and started helping with the website.
So what's kept you involved, just from a personal perspective? What do you like about it? What have you grown? What are some of the things that you can tell me?
I have to say, for one, I probably wouldn't be as involved in Ubuntu as I am if not for the project. So personally, I've benefited a lot. When I was first elected to the Community Council, that was terrifying to me, and I was like, I don't know if I should even put my name forward. So people put my name forward for me, and they were very encouraging, and the group in general has been very encouraging to all my work in the Ubuntu project. So me personally, I've benefited a great deal from the support and encouragement and all that from the project. Also, it's just meeting other women in technology. So I get an opportunity to meet other people who have already been involved in Ubuntu and people who are interested in getting involved, and a lot of female students who are interested in getting involved and have a spark of interest in technology. And it's always exciting to meet with them because they've got really cool ideas and bring a lot of new ideas to the Ubuntu project that I can steal and use them.
So if there's that one girl out there, or one lady, one woman, who is kind of shy or not sure if she'd get involved, what would you say to her?
Well, you can join our mailing list. And you can come find me and send me an email, because I'm very busy and I get a lot of email, but emails that come directly from women who are looking to get involved, those like always bubble to the top of my I have to reply to this soon list, because I understand what it's like to be a woman who's starting out in open source. And even when I start new projects today, I'm always pretty shy when I start working on something new, and if having that contact there can be really important, especially, and someone who's responsive to contact, and I will be responsive if you're one of those people. Also, sort of getting a feel for the Ubuntu community by looking through some of the wiki pages and maybe joining a localized group, like a loco team, like in California. We've got the Ubuntu California team, and doing other things that you may be interested in, and then having some idea what you may be interested in. There's a lot of people who join projects and say, I want to help, and we're like, okay, what are you good at? And you don't need to be a programmer. You can say, I like art, and we can say, well, good, there's a wallpaper contest happening right now, so you can contribute to the Ubuntu wallpaper contest and maybe get your image in. Or if you're interested in getting software into Ubuntu, we can direct you to those resources. And then I also have a few links to wiki pages and other how to contribute pages, where if you don't know what you want to do, you can take a look at the list and say, oh, that sounds interesting. And then I or someone in the project can go ahead and tell you about that, and who to contact to get involved and perhaps help you get started.
So the Ubuntu Developers Summit is coming up again. Will there be Ubuntu Women sessions coming up?
That's a good question. I don't know. Actually, I don't know if anyone from the leadership team is going to be at the summit. I'm going to be on my honeymoon. Hooray.
Hooray.
It's sad to miss it, but life, you know.
Especially when it's right here in the Bay Area again.
Oh,
we're so lucky. Yeah, congratulations.
But at the Developer Summit, we usually have a community session on the Ubuntu Women Project. So hopefully I'll find someone who's attending who can host that. That would be good. But those sessions are really awesome, because we don't, when we have our meetings on IRC, it's usually the same people over and over again, as with most Ubuntu meetings. The same old people. But at the Developer Summit, it gives us a really nice opportunity to invite women who may work at Canonical, the company that funds Ubuntu, and get some of their perspective on the community, because they often come from technology backgrounds, but not necessarily open source backgrounds. So they bring a lot of new ideas to the table, and they're also really great people who can do Career Day sessions for us. So we recruit some of the Career Day people from the Developer Summit when we meet them. And it's really nice hearing fresh perspectives instead of just our own experiences and our own situations.
The Ubuntu community is so large. We are going to be reaching out to women politicians as well, coming up pretty soon. Maybe there's some overlap there that we can help the Ubuntu Women team.
Yeah,
with
perhaps.
The California team.
And I noticed there's a lot of also like women in tech initiatives out there, and we've somewhat been trying to latch onto some of those, and or at least provide the resources there for women in our community. So we'll sometimes post some things to our mailing list, like, hey, here's another opportunity for a formal mentoring program outside of what we do, or sponsorship to conferences and things. And certainly, if we have policymakers who are in a position to help women in technology, that would be something we'd be interested in letting our members know about.
Now, out of curiosity, when you were talking about introducing people to projects and getting them started, do you have any examples of projects per se that have really benefited from bringing people in?
So there's a few. Loco teams really benefit from a lot of involvement of women coming into their teams, mostly because those are in person, and it's very obvious when you're in a room when there's no women and when there are a few women. So loco teams are big, get a huge benefit from getting women involved, and it's really nice to get them involved in loco teams because then they actually get to go out and meet with people and contribute to events. In my own experience, I've worked with a lot of women in loco teams and then also on the Ubuntu News team. And it's funny because I work with these super technical women who like have really high degrees in technical fields. And then they come to me and they want to do sort of soft skill community stuff in the Ubuntu community. And I think sometimes that's because they're not yet confident enough to tackle like the bigger things. And other times it's because they are, you know, in a high-tech career, and when they go home, they want to read Ubuntu News and contribute to the newsletter. And that's certainly what drew me to it, because all day at my job, I'm doing technical stuff all day, and then when I come home, I want to contribute to Ubuntu, but if I'm going to be doing software packaging at night, that's a bit much sometimes. So the Ubuntu News team, about a year ago, I brought in a new contributor who was interested. I think she joined through Ubuntu Women, Jasna, and she's been like a superstar on the news team. She collects links for me every week, and then she does a bunch of summaries, and she does editing. She does like everything. And I should check on how the newsletter's doing this week, because I haven't even looked at it, but I'm sure she's doing a brilliant job of it. So just one example recently of someone who we brought into the project and has been doing really awesome work.
Yeah, that's really fantastic that you can get all of this interest and all of this excitement through the Women of Ubuntu organization that you're working on. Now, do you see sort of the expansion of organizations like this within the technology world in their own areas or in their own development? Does this see this as a growing, something that grows?
Yeah, so there's now a lot of women in technology initiatives out there, and I think part of that has come through in the last decade. There have been a lot of studies proving that diversity helps teams and is beneficial to companies and communities and all that, and you come up with more dynamic, bigger money-making schemes and more successful everything when you have a more diverse environment. And part of that, especially in technology, is bringing more women on board. So there's been a renewed interest by very serious organizations and companies to bring more women on board because they recognize that need. And so all along the pipeline, there's been initiatives to start women doing programming at a younger age. Black Girls Code was launched about a year and a half ago in San Francisco. And now they're nationwide. They've got these little, and they're like coding seminars for, I think, like 10 to 12-year-old girls, I think, or maybe younger than that. But they pretty much, they create like program and make robots and cool things. And that's exciting stuff for kids. Well, it's exciting for me too. Like kids love that stuff, and it gets them into programming, and it's a very direct way to interface with girls who are interested in technology or interested in robots. You can show them that you can make your own. And there's a lot of women in tech general programs. The GNOME Foundation recently did a huge internship project for women, and I actually ran into my first GNOME intern yesterday, when she joined the IRC channel for the OpenStack infrastructure project, which is what I work on in my day job. And she was interested in contributing, and I had no idea who she was, but I'm like, oh, here, you can give this. You know, I'm giving her some of my work because that's awesome. And then I realized she was, and then she posted a link to her blog where she was blogging about her whole experience, and she had just written up this big, long testing-focused blog post about what some of the things we're testing in OpenStack. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. Also, I'm learning from that too. So, yeah, learning can go both ways as well. So the GNOME Foundation has done this. This has been a really great mentoring project. And other things like Google Summer of Code, we've been pushing more women to try to contribute to that because that directly goes into open source projects as well.
And what if anything, are you doing to let people know that organizations like this exist, to bring them in and to, more importantly, encourage them to contribute?
So where Ubuntu Women is concerned, we've pretty much put ourselves, we post our blog to the Ubuntu Planet, the aggregation of blogs in the project, so people know about us there. We've been trying to get our link on some of the other websites, like the EdUbuntu website has an Ubuntu Women link on it. And in general, we try to tell people about it when we're out working on things, and it's sort of happened organically that if someone sees a woman in the thing, they'll be like, oh, hey, you should check out this. And it's, we've, I guess, since we're so old when it comes to the age of the project, like there's always been an Ubuntu Women project as long as Ubuntu's been around, for as far as most people are concerned, so they sort of know we're around. And then we have things like, we have like a Twitter account and Google Plus and Facebook, which we cross-post things on. And that's been really helpful for getting people who are not necessarily within the Ubuntu project more aware of things we're doing.
And can people find the Twitter handles and Facebook account and Google Hangouts from your webpage?
Yep, and I think we link them all directly on our blog as well. Pretty sure. We should be.
And right now, Grant is checking the webpage right now.
I don't know if it's on the website directly, because there's, oh, maybe there. Who knows? It's on the blog, though.
It's on the blog.
Yeah.
Ah, we see it at the bottom of the page, yes?
We've got IRC and website there.
But just so our listeners know, again, please check out the ubuntu-women.org website for all the information that Elizabeth has just talked about. And with that,
are there other organizations you want to mention in this that you're involved with?
Well, that I'm involved with.
Or that maybe you want to get involved with or have heard about? Or
that you'd recommend other people getting involved with.
So recently there have been a few like women groups pop up on Meetup, and I've started going to a few in San Francisco. So there's, I haven't been to yet, but there's a Python group from Pi Ladies, which is sort of international, and then there's a Pi Ladies SF that sprung up, and I hope to get some of their meetings. And then in a lot of areas, there's a Dev Chicks, which is an international thing. They're sort of based on Linux Chicks as well, but they're development focused, so there are a lot of programmers and software engineers. So they have international presence, and then they have a lot of localized teams. And I joined their group about a year and a half ago, and they've been really cool to be around. A lot of people doing Ruby. And since I do Perl and Bash and sysadmin things, it's been nice for my exposure to Python since I'm learning that very fast with my new job. But a lot of programming-oriented women in tech support things. There's also sisters.org, sisters with a Y. That's a technology group that's been around for a long time for women, and that has a lot of people recommend that for involvement. They do a lot of mailing lists and things. And then there's a lot of events that spring up around the ADA initiative, which is a project to get more women involved with open source and free culture in general. They've been doing some ADA camps where they bring a lot of women together and work on some of these fundamental problems in open source, attracting women. And they've done a lot of work around conferences where conferences don't necessarily have anti-harassment policies. So there have been a lot of high-profile instances where women have been harassed or approached in inappropriate ways at conferences, and it's been really off-putting to those of us who go to conferences because we don't feel safe. So there's been a lot of effort put into making safe spaces for women at conferences and making sure that emergency numbers are made available, like the numbers of like taxi companies are there if you get into a situation where you feel uncomfortable. And so UDS has instituted this. Last time in Oakland, they had a whole page which shows, you know, contact the Oakland police with this phone number, and here's how you contact conference organizers. And so the ADA initiative really inspired that, and then the Ubuntu Women Project sort of followed through in the Ubuntu Project and say, this is important, we need to update this now. It's been an interesting thing, but the ADA initiative's been a really great project for that, and they're always looking for support. They're adainitiative.org.
Fantastic. Well, before we end this podcast, would you have any sage advice for our listeners? Or parting words?
I guess always keep in mind that women are just regular people. If you encounter one in your community, just treat them like everyone else. The last thing I'd like to hear is, oh my God, a girl. That's no fun. So really, if you are trying to attract more women to your group or trying to work more with women in your group, just be casual and be okay. You know, you may say stupid things because that happens, but just chill out and it's okay. And also the Ubuntu Women Project is always available, lots of people there. If you have questions about trying to attract more women or what you're doing wrong, you know, if you're having meetings in dark alleys, you can probably stop that. But we can offer other advice too.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. It's been a real pleasure. I am Ian Lin.
Bethany Doolin.
Grant Bowman.
Elizabeth Frumbach. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Thanks, Liz.